Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
Eliza had always thought of the house as an inheritance that nobody wanted. It wasn't the kind of place you bragged about owning. It didn't have elegant shutters or a sweeping porch or the kind of charm people paid for in glossy real estate listings. It sat too close to the tree line, its paint faded, and its windows narrow as if it had been built to keep something out, rather than let the world in. But it was paid off. It was solid. It had lasted more than a century. And in a family like hers, where money came and went and people moved on as soon as life got hard, the fact that it remained at all felt like a stubborn miracle. When Aunt Vivian died, the house passed to Eliza's mother. Her mother, in turn, passed it to Eliza with a kind of exhausted practicality. "Sell it if you want," she'd said, "or live there. Just don't pour money into it." Eliza didn't move in because she wanted to become the sort of person who lived in an old family house. She moved in because the timing was bad and her options were worse. A lease ending, a job shifting to remote work, a breakup that left her feeling like she'd been quietly erased from her own life. The house was a place to land while she figured out what came next. She arrived on a gray afternoon in early autumn, her car packed tighter than it should have been. The yard was overgrown in the way neglected yards always were, grass too high, weeds in the walkway, cracks, a few stubborn vines climbing the porch post as if they'd been waiting for permission to take the whole place. The key Vivian had kept on a nail behind the porch light still fit the lock. The door opened with a reluctant groan, and the smell inside hit Eliza immediately. Old wood, dust, and something faintly sweet beneath it, like dried flowers pressed into paper. The foyer was small. The stairs climbed straight up, steep and narrow. A hallway led back toward the kitchen and the living room opened to the right. The furniture was gone, but the outline of it remained in lighter patches on the floor where rugs had been. Vivian's presence clung to the place. In quieter ways, a scuffed baseboard, a shallow dent in the wall where something heavy had bumped it years ago. A faint circle on the windowsill where a plant pot must have sat for decades. Eliza set her bags down and walked through each room, trying to see it as a normal house. She tried to picture where a sofa might go, where a desk could fit, where she'd hang her coat. It didn't feel hostile. It felt watchful. The sensation wasn't dramatic. There were no chills racing up her spine, no sudden dread. It was subtler, like entering a room mid-conversation and realizing everyone has stopped talking because you've walked in. She told herself it was nerves. Moving always felt like that. A new place demanded attention until it became familiar. She spent the first day cleaning and opening windows. Dust lifted in the sunlight. The boards creaked under her weight, but that was normal in an old house. The pipes clanked when she turned on the water. The furnace gave a low, tired rumble like it resented being asked to work again. She did what she always did when she felt uneasy. She made lists. Replace light bulbs, check smoke detectors, buy a cheap shower curtain, call a locksmith if the back door looks questionable. She wrote it all down in a notebook and felt better, the way people feel better when they can turn discomfort into tasks. By evening, she had a mattress on the floor of the front bedroom upstairs, a lamp plugged in, and a stack of folded clothes in one corner. She ate takeout cross-legged on the mattress and listened to the quiet settle around her. That was when she noticed the first small thing. The upstairs hallway light flickered once, then steadied. Eliza stared at it. The fixture was old and slightly crooked, the kind of thing she'd meant to replace eventually. Lights flickered sometimes, especially in older wiring. Still, she felt her attention snag on it. She waited for it to happen again. It didn't. She went to bed early, exhausted from the move. The house creaked and shifted in the night, but she slept anyway, drifting in and out the way you do in a strange place where your brain hasn't decided what's safe yet. At 3:11 a.m., she woke up. Not because of a sound, not because of a nightmare. She simply opened her eyes and lay still, suddenly aware that the room felt colder than it had when she fell asleep. The lamp beside her mattress was off. The faint glow from the streetlight outside pressed through the curtains, giving the room a dim bluish tint. Eliza listened, and for a moment there was nothing at all. Then, from somewhere down the hall, she heard a soft thump. It sounded like a footstep. Not the sharp snap of settling wood, but a slow, deliberate weight being placed on a plank. Eliza held her breath. Another step followed, then another, heading toward her room. She sat up, heart beating faster than it needed to. Her mind threw explanations at her like a reflex. House noises, an animal, her imagination. But the rhythm didn't match any of those. It was too measured, too consistent. Whatever it was, it didn't wander or scratch or hesitate. It walked as if it knew exactly where it was going. The steps stopped outside her door. Eliza stared at the doorknob, half expecting it to turn. She told herself the floorboards were cooling and contracting. She told herself old houses made sounds that felt like human movement when you were half asleep. Then she heard a faint scrape at the bottom of the door. Not loud, not violent, just the unmistakable sound of something being dragged slowly across the threshold like the edge of a shoe or a fingernail or a piece of furniture being nudged an inch at a time. Eliza's mouth went dry. She didn't move. She didn't speak. The scrape stopped. The hallway fell silent again. She waited a long time listening for anything, breathing, movement, another step. When nothing came, she forced herself to swing her legs off the mattress and stand. She turned on the lamp so quickly, the chain clinked against the fixture. The light filled the room. Everything looked normal. Eliza walked to the door and opened it. The hallway was empty. The upstairs was empty. The stairwell vanished into darkness below, and the air smelled like old paint and dust. She stood there, feeling foolish and shaken at the same time, and that was when she noticed something else. At the far end of the hallway, the door to the back bedroom was open. Eliza hadn't been in that room yet, not fully. She'd peeked earlier and decided it could wait. It had been closed when she went to bed. She was sure of that, because the door stuck and had to be pushed firmly to latch. Now it stood open by several inches, revealing a wedge of darker darkness beyond. Eliza walked toward it slowly. The air cooled as she approached, as if the temperature dropped in a small radius around that room. When she reached the doorway, she stopped and looked at the knob. The metal was dulled with age and fingerprints, the kind of doorknob that had been turned by countless hands. It should not have been cold, but it was. Not cool, not it's nighttime in an old house cool. Cold in a way that felt kept. Eliza didn't step inside. She simply stared into the dark and waited for her eyes to adjust. The room smelled different from the rest of the house, like old fabric and something faintly medicinal. Then she heard it, not from the hall, not from below, from inside the room. A soft, steady sound like someone exhaling very slowly, over and over again. Eliza took one involuntary step backward. The exhale stopped. In the sudden silence, she realized her hand had gone to her throat without her noticing, like her body was trying to protect itself before her mind could decide what was happening. She closed the door carefully, pushing until the latch clicked. She stood there with her palm on the wood, feeling the cold seep into her skin. Then, because she didn't know what else to do, she whispered, "I'm just staying here for a little while." The words felt ridiculous, and yet once they left her mouth, the air in the hallway seemed to ease, just slightly, as if a pressure she hadn't realized was there had loosened. Eliza returned to her room, shut her door, and dragged a chair in front of it. Not because she thought a chair could stop anything, but because it gave her hands something to do. When she finally lay back down, she kept the lamp on. And even with the light, even with her phone clutched in her hand, she couldn't shake the feeling that the house wasn't reacting to her. It was acknowledging her. Eliza did not sleep again that night. Eliza lay awake until dawn, staring at the ceiling while the house settled around her. Every sound felt amplified, the slow tick of cooling metal in the walls, the distant groan of the furnace cycling off, the occasional pop of wood contracting as the temperature dropped outside. None of it repeated the footsteps. None of it came near her door again. By the time pale morning light crept through the curtains, exhaustion had dulled the sharpest edge of fear. She told herself what people always told themselves after a bad night in a new place. It had been stress, lack of sleep, nerves layered on top of unfamiliar noises. The mind could fill gaps when it wanted answers badly enough. She made coffee and drank it standing at the kitchen counter, watching steam rise from the mug. The daylight changed the house. It always did. The kitchen felt smaller but warmer, its flaws obvious and manageable. The hallway upstairs looked narrow and unremarkable. Even the back bedroom door, now firmly shut, appeared harmless in the sun. Still, Eliza left the chair where it was. She spent the morning unpacking and working, forcing herself into routine. Emails, deadlines, the hum of normal responsibility. By noon, she almost believed she could laugh about the night before, tell it later as a story about moving jitters and an overactive imagination. Then she noticed the hallway light flicker again, just once. Only when she was halfway up the stairs carrying a box of books she meant to shelve in the front bedroom. The bulb dimmed briefly, then returned to normal, as if testing whether she'd noticed. Eliza froze, box balanced awkwardly against her hip. She waited. Nothing else happened. She finished climbing the stairs and put the box down, annoyed with herself for the rush of relief that followed. Old wiring, that was all. She added, "Call electrician," to her growing list. Over the next 2 days, the house settled into a pattern that made Eliza uneasy in a quieter way. Nothing dramatic happened. No footsteps in the night, no doors opening on their own. Instead, there were small disruptions that felt personal in their timing. A kitchen cabinet left open when she knew she'd shut it. The living room window unlocked one afternoon. The latch lifted just enough that the frame didn't sit flush. She was certain she'd locked it the night before. Her laptop mouse going missing from the dining room table and turning up later on the kitchen counter, placed neatly beside the sink as if someone had set it down carefully. Each thing on its own was easy to dismiss. Together, they felt deliberate. The hallway upstairs remained cooler than the rest of the house, no matter how long the furnace ran. Eliza noticed it every time she climbed the stairs, a subtle drop in temperature that made the air feel heavier, thicker. And always, at the end of the hall, the back bedroom door waited. closed, but never somehow as tight as she remembered leaving it. On the fourth night, Eliza dreamed she was standing at the bottom of the stairs, looking up. The hallway stretched longer than it should have, its walls bending slightly inward. At the end of it, the back bedroom door stood open and something inside the room was breathing. She woke with a start, heart racing, and immediately checked the clock. 3:11 a.m. She lay still, listening. The house was quiet. No footsteps, no scraping sounds, just the distant hum of the refrigerator downstairs. Relief washed over her in a way that felt almost embarrassing. She rolled onto her side and tried to sleep. That was when she heard the chair move. Not a loud scrape, just a subtle shift of weight, wood sliding against wood with the careful restraint of someone trying not to be heard. Eliza's eyes snapped open. She stared at the door, at the narrow strip of light glowing beneath it from the lamp she'd left on. The chair moved again, this time more firmly, pressing against the door. Her breath came shallow and fast. She told herself she'd left it unbalanced. She told herself gravity and old floors could explain a lot. Then the doorknob turned, slowly, smoothly. Eliza watched it move with a kind of detached disbelief, her mind lagging behind what her eyes were telling her. The handle didn't rattle or jerk. It rotated steadily, as if someone on the other side had all the time in the world. Her throat locked. She couldn't scream. She couldn't move. When the handle reached nearly horizontal, she finally found her voice. The sound ripped out of her, raw and uncontrolled. The doorknob snapped back instantly, metal clicking sharply into place. The chair settled, unmoving. The hallway fell into such complete silence that it felt like pressure in her ears. Eliza didn't wait to see if it would happen again. She grabbed her phone, her keys, and whatever shoes were closest. She didn't bother turning off the lamp or moving the chair. She ran down the stairs so hard the old wood protested beneath her feet and yanked the front door open. Cold air hit her like a slap. She bolted across the porch and into her car, locking the doors with shaking hands. The engine turned over on the first try. She aimed the headlights at the house and sat there, breathing hard, heart pounding. The house looked the same as it always had. Quiet, dark, windows blank and unresponsive, nothing moved. Eliza stayed in the car until the sky began to lighten, exhaustion settling over her in heavy waves. When the sun finally crested the trees, she made a decision she'd been resisting since the first night. She wasn't staying there alone. She drove straight to her mother's house. Her mother answered the door in a robe, hair pulled back, eyes sharp with concern the moment she saw Eliza's face. "What happened?" she asked, already stepping aside to let her in. Eliza crossed the threshold and closed the door behind her. The normalcy of the space, the smell of coffee, the sound of a morning news program murmuring from the television made her knees feel weak. "I need you to tell me the truth about Aunt Vivian's house," Eliza said. Her voice shook despite her effort to steady it. "All of it." Her mother didn't argue. She didn't laugh it off or suggest stress or bad dreams. Instead, she sighed and sat down heavily at the kitchen table. "Vivian called it the West Room," her mother said quietly. Eliza swallowed. "The back bedroom." "Yes." "Why?" Her mother stared at her hands for a long moment. "Because she didn't want to call it what it was." Eliza felt a familiar chill creep up her arms. "Did someone die in there?" Her mother hesitated, then nodded once. "More than one." The room seemed to tilt slightly. Eliza gripped the edge of the counter. "When your grandfather was a boy," her mother continued, "that house wasn't just a house. Winters were hard back then, roads washed out. People brought sick relatives to Vivian's mother because she knew how to tend the ill. She had herbs, knowledge. She kept people when they couldn't be kept at home." "In that room," Eliza said. Her mother nodded. "It faced the trees. It stayed cold. People said it felt separate from the rest of the house." Eliza closed her eyes briefly. "Did anything strange happen?" Her mother's mouth tightened. Vivian never said much, but she kept records, notes. She believed if you understood something, you could manage it. "There are papers in the house," Eliza said. "I know it." In the cedar chest, her mother replied. Upstairs hall closet, Vivian kept it locked. Eliza remembered the chest instantly. She remembered being told not to touch it without ever being told why. Her mother looked at her then, fear clear and unfiltered. You're not going back there alone. Eliza didn't argue. They drove back together later that morning, the daylight making the house look smaller, less imposing. But as Eliza unlocked the front door, she felt it again. That subtle shift, like the air inside registering that it wasn't just her anymore. They went upstairs in silence, the hall closet still stuck when Eliza pulled it open. Inside sat the cedar chest, dark and polished by generations of hands. Her mother pulled a small key from her purse. I kept it, she admitted. I don't know why, I just did. The lid creaked open. The smell of cedar rose sharply, clean and preserving. Inside was a thin journal and a bundle of loose pages tied with string. Vivian's handwriting. Eliza opened the journal. It wasn't a diary. It was a record. Dates, symptoms, notes about treatments and outcomes, calm, methodical. Until the entries marked with a small star. They described a boy. A boy who belonged to the house. A boy who woke screaming, who spoke to corners, who grew thin without cause. A boy who refused to stay in bed and was found in the hallway with his hands pressed to the wall like he was listening to something inside it. Eliza's breath caught. She turned the page. He locked himself in the west room again. She read aloud. He says it is safer in there because it cannot reach him there. Her mother's face went pale. I have moved the latch to the outside, Eliza continued, voice barely above a whisper. I will not have him. Wandering the house at night. Eliza looked up. The latch. That's why it was on the outside, her mother said softly. Eliza turned the final page. He is gone this morning, she read. The west room door was open. The window was open, though it was latched. There are marks on the wall again. I'm going to keep the west room closed. I'm going to do what my mother did and pretend this is just a house. Eliza closed the journal slowly. Whatever was happening in that house, it hadn't started with her, and it hadn't ended with the boy. Eliza closed the journal and sat back on her heels, the cedar-scented air pressing in around her. The words lingered in her mind, rearranging her understanding of the house in ways she hadn't expected. This wasn't a story about a single tragedy or a restless spirit repeating the same motion over and over. It was a history of containment. Her mother folded the loose pages carefully and set them back into the chest. Neither of them spoke for a long moment. The hallway outside the closet felt different now. Not threatening, but alert, like a space that knew it was being discussed. So it isn't trying to hurt anyone, Eliza said finally. It's trying to keep something from moving around. Her mother's mouth tightened. Or it's trying to keep people away from the room. Eliza didn't like either possibility. They stood and walked down the hallway together. Eliza felt the air cool as they approached the west room. The temperature shift subtle but unmistakable. Her mother's hand found Eliza's elbow, fingers gripping harder than necessary. Eliza reached for the doorknob as it was cold. Not the ordinary cool of shaded metal, but that same wrong cold she remembered from the night before. Like the knob had been holding onto the chill, waiting for her hand to return. Eliza didn't turn it. Instead, she rested her palm flat against the door and spoke quietly, choosing her words with care. We know, she said. We understand what happened here. The hallway felt still. Not silent. Still, like the house itself had paused. We're not here to disturb anything, Eliza continued. We're here to put things back the way they were meant to be. Her mother's grip tightened. For a long moment, nothing happened. Then, from inside the west room, there came a faint sound. Not footsteps, not breathing. Just a subtle shift, like someone changing their weight after standing in one place for too long. Eliza's skin prickled. She resisted the urge to pull her hand away. We're going to handle it, she said. You don't have to. The sound didn't repeat. The hallway remained heavy with quiet. They backed away without turning their backs to the door. Only when they reached the top of the stairs did Eliza feel her chest loosen enough to breathe normally again. In the kitchen, they found what they needed without much searching. Vivian had kept nearly everything, Old hardware wrapped in cloth, labeled jars of screws, a drawer full of keys that fit nothing anymore. At the back of a drawer, wrapped carefully in a faded towel, was the latch hardware, the hook and eye. They carried it upstairs together and affixed it to the outside of the west room door, exactly where it had once been. The wood bore faint marks where the hardware had previously been mounted, as if the door remembered where it belonged. When Eliza fastened the latch, it settled into place with a soft, final click. Not a lock, a boundary. That night, Eliza slept downstairs on the couch while her mother took the recliner. Neither of them said it out loud, but it felt safer. Two people breathing in the same space, the house less able to isolate either of them. The house made its usual noises as the temperature dropped, pipes sighed, floorboards complained quietly. Somewhere upstairs, something shifted once, then went still. There were no footsteps. Eliza woke at 3:11 a.m. out of habit more than fear. She lay there listening, waiting for the familiar tension to return. It didn't. The house felt settled in a way it hadn't since she arrived, like something that had finally been acknowledged and allowed to rest. In the morning, her mother stood at the kitchen window, staring toward the tree line where the west room faced. "We should sell it," she said quietly. Eliza nodded, "Yes." They didn't argue about it. The decision felt practical, inevitable. The house had done its job for a long time, longer than anyone had realized. Later that afternoon, as Eliza packed the last of her things, she paused at the bottom of the stairs. She looked up toward the narrow hallway and the closed door at the end of it. The latch remained in place, so the air around it felt neutral now, not warm, not cold, just still. Eliza understood then that the house wasn't haunted in the way people like to talk about. It wasn't a spectacle. It wasn't malicious. It was burdened. It had held on to something for generations, enforcing rules in the only way it knew how when those rules were ignored. It had learned to push, to test, to remind people where they weren't meant to go. And now, finally, someone had listened. Eliza locked the front door behind her and left the key on the porch just as Vivian always had. As she walked back to her car, she felt no pull to look over her shoulder. Some places don't need to follow you. Some places just need to be understood and closed properly.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are no such thing as a fish.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are no such thing as a fish.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are no such thing as a fish.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are no such thing as a fish.